This is the Truth Network.
Welcome to Man Talk, brought to you by TAWCMM, Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry, where they're devoted to breaking down the walls of race and denomination and challenging men to take their God-assigned role. Here's our hosts, Will Hardy and Roy Jones Jr., a black guy and a white guy.
Welcome to Man Talk Radio. I'm Will Hardy, the black guy.
And I'm Roy Jones, the white guy.
And we are two brothers from different mothers, but the same father.
Amen.
And Roy, we got a guest here today that some may recognize him from his show, Bridging the Gap. Minister Kennedy is
in the house.
He's in the house with us today. And we're going to be talking about a very sensitive subject. Everybody on the news have seen what has happened out there with George Floyd, and everybody has have their opinion about, you know, what should be done in order to bring about some type of reconciliation. So we want to talk about that today because it's a topic that needs to be discussed. And if it's discussed, it should be discussed in the church, because this is where things like this should be talked about, because Amen. We are the arms, legs, eyes of Christ while we are here in this body.
Amen. Well, Dwayne, it's good to have you here with us.
Hey, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to be here. I'm honored to be here, you know. I'll be following you guys around. You guys, we are handling your business. I love what you guys are doing with men's ministry. Mm. And that's one of the first ministries that I start out was with men's ministry.
All right.
So I just appreciate you guys and the love that you have for the Lord and for others, you know. It shows in what you do.
Yeah,
you know, so I appreciate you. I'm going to try to make the breakfast that coming up soon.
I was going to say, yeah, your BSF's not meeting right now, is it? So, yeah, so that's awesome. Yeah. That's tomorrow morning,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, you know, I got a AT&T guy is coming to our studio. We built a studio over here, so he's coming there. So I got to be there at 8 o'clock. So I'm going to try to figure it out. But, yeah. You know, I got to call into him. So.
Amen.
Well, usually it's like most repair guys. You got a window between 8 and 12. We'll be
and
there.
That's what it is, 8 and 12. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. And I don't want to miss him. We missed him for like 2 weeks straight. So
You can just about bet it won't be 8 o'clock in the morning. But, well, hey, it's so good to get this thing started. I mean, it's been very difficult 2 months, I guess, which is just another highlight in the challenges we're going through as a country and, of course, across the world. You know, with racism, as you were talking before the show, Dwayne, it certainly just is not just between black and white. It's between multiple races. It's some within the same race and just different economic groups that cause the separation. And a lot of things going on. So we're just excited to get started. And hey, folks, we know this is going to be a little uncomfortable for if you're listening. Could be a little bit uncomfortable for all of us because, you know, we haven't rehearsed this thing. We haven't talked ahead of time. We said, hey, let's get together and get this thing started. So we're basically coming to you live with this conversation. So you're hearing it as it's being discussed.
And if it's hard for you, if it makes you feel uncomfortable, then you should be uncomfortable, really.
Exactly.
Because, you know, we want to step out of the comfort zone.
That's right. And let me lead off by saying this. We, the three of us, are all followers of Christ. We love each other's brothers in Christ because we've known each other for several years now, and that's all that matters.
Amen.
So if any earthly parts of those conversations come in as brothers in Christ, we'll hold each other in check. Then, hey, is this what God wants us to do? Is this where we need to be as a society? And that's the good part about being followers of Christ.
Amen.
You can have the difficult conversations, but at the end of the day, you know you love each other without fail.
And that's a key principle in truth. Truth is sweet. The truth is sweet, but it can be bitter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Honey to the mouth, but going down bitter in the stomach.
Yep,
there you go.
That's Bible.
Yes, it is. So when listeners, when you see what you're seeing that's happening in the news and happening now around the world, it's not just America. It's around the world. It's in London. It's in Spain. It's in Belgium. All of these protests now have spread around the world. And so when we look at this, we say, what is the issue? That's what's going on in the mind right now. What is the issue that is being faced with America and what we have seen on the news in reference, because Roy, just 3 or 4 weeks ago, we were talking about Ahmaud Arbery, and now we're talking about George Floyd. Right. So, you know, it's like this turnaround. And I remember you had asked me during that conversation, you know, what was it, or how was I feeling? And one of the things I said was, here it goes again. Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. here it goes again. Mm-hmm. So now we sort of like went full circle.
Yeah, and I'd like to know, when you say here it goes again, what exactly does that mean? When you say here it goes again, in your heart, what is that resonating to you when you see somebody, here it goes again? Are we talking about the death of a black man? Are we talking, or African-American man? Are we talking about the fact that a police officer or ex-police officer involved, I want to make sure that we're clear to the listeners,
right,
when
right.
you say here it goes again, or is it just the death of a man?
I believe it's overall, you know, it's the overall arching effect of when people see, number one, constantly on the news, police brutality. And I brought some things with me that we're going to talk about in reference to how brutality of the police or violence of the police department can be diminished based on these statistics that we're going to talk about later. But when you see, and we were talking about this earlier, a policeman with his neck on the back of an individual, okay, we saw that happen. We saw in South Carolina where a man who was basically running away from the policeman shot him in the back. We see with Ahmaud Arbery. So we see with Michael Brown up there in Missouri. So we have all of these examples. So when we take each example of what we've seen and we say, what if that individual who was on the other side of that fence when that man was running away in South Carolina, what if the video wasn't recorded? What would have been the end result?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the telephone camera has actually changed the mentality of how things are projected to the media,
right,
and the truth eventually is coming out.
Mm.
So, yeah. So when I say that, that's what I mean. I mean that the whole scope, it's not just one specific item within the scope. It's the whole scope.
Right. So when this started there over the last couple of weeks, I went and pulled statistics. Actually, my youngest son and I were having a conversation about it because I was troubled by what continues to go on between whites and blacks and the breakdown in relationships. Right. Mm-hmm. Because we're never going to get any better. We've talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
If especially if we as the body of Christ can't do it right, Lord knows that the world's not going to get it right.
Mm-hmm.
So statistically, he said, Dad, have you looked at the numbers? And so to this point, there in 2019, there were 260 or 270 black American men or black men in America that mm-hmm. were killed by police officers.
Mm-hmm.
In the same year, there's 360 some white men killed by police officers.
Mm-hmm.
So the point being, that's why I want to get to a holistic view, mm-hmm. is that there's 600 men that were killed.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, you know, and we know it's more publicized, to your wording earlier. It was on the media about the black men that have been killed.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't seen any about any of the white men that have been killed wrongfully,
mm-hmm.
right? Or with excessive force.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be real clear. We're not being down on any of our police officers. We support
right.
you. We love you. We know you have a very difficult job
Absolutely.
To do. So we want to put that clause out there as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's like any profession or like any company or any family. There's always some people that are out there doing some things. I had dinner with a police officer before we got here tonight, and we've had him mm-hmm. on the show before, and we're going to have him here in a few weeks. He said, Roy, did you realize that that guy had 18 complaints on him prior to this incident, this particular officer,
mm-hmm.
had not been dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a breakdown in the process,
mm-hmm.
right? In fact, he said he should have never even got in. He wouldn't have made it through most psychological exams, which I thought was interesting.
Wow.
So because of the fact that he's had this many occurrences over 19 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Aaron has not had, he's been 19 years. And I said, well, how many complaints have you had for excessive force? Now, Aaron's a big man. Mm-hmm. So he's 6'4", and he said zero.
Mm-hmm.
So I think let's just want to throw that out there as part of our conversation. When you say here it goes again, I'm just wondering what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
So and trust me, you know my heart. I'm mm-hmm. brokenhearted by mm-hmm. all of this. But mm-hmm. I think it's important for our listeners to know it's not just one side, to Dwayne's comment earlier. It happens on both sides of the fence,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
let's get Minister Canada in here. What do you see here as the issue?
Wow, you know, there's so much on the table. I'm for real. There's so much on the table.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I have a lot to say, but I will start right here. You know, with the camera set up, the phone camera,
mm-hmm.
because that exposed it, without that, nobody would know anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen.
So you have to go before the camera and just realize how many events wasn't publicized.
Right.
So this is not a 50-year-old thing. This is a 400-year thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what you actually have, this whole problem, it's a boiling point. Everything mm-hmm. gets to a boiling point,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's boiling now.
Mm-hmm.
The key principle is that before it was just African Americans protesting, you know, we have the world. I mean, there was 100,000 some people in New Zealand
mm-hmm.
Protesting, walking down, talking about mm-hmm. Black Lives Matter. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, so what I'm saying is that it's more publicized now. So change is going to come. Change is being made.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about the, it's an individual thing, because you have to, you know, the oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
If the oppressed is the only one talking about the oppression,
mm-hmm.
it's never going to change.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have the oppressor get to a place where, you know, this is wrong,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's wrong. Now, I think what you have now, you have a lot of people that are empathizing, not just sympathizing, but empathizing with our culture.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, imagine your kids, you know, somebody just take your kid from you.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, I mean, so we have, this is a 400-year problem, and it's get to a boiling point. But far as the police, I'm gonna tell you, that's a key principle right there. I couldn't be a police,
mm-hmm.
nor could
because mm-hmm. I would be one of the guys. I'm not gonna take no L's. I'm not gonna take a loss. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm coming in to this situation with my mind like, you know, I'm not ready to
go
down.
Right.
So some people can't be police. Some people shouldn't be police.
Right.
And that's where they have to check these people. Like you pointed out that statistic. That's some deep stuff.
Yep.
These people have to be, you know, and I think everything needs to go right now, where we are right now, it has to go to some type of police reform. They have to, when the foundation is messed up, you got to tear the whole foundation down
mm-hmm.
and rebuild it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it is, that's where it should be going right now. So it's a lot of stuff going on.
Well, I don't disagree with you, Dwayne. I think what we have to be cognizant of is when you take a, whatever the ratio is, right? That's statistics don't lie. The numbers of occurrences, I think we need to talk about that when we come back so we understand the scope of it. There are some bad folks out there. We all agree on both sides. Bad folks that are on the civilian side, bad folks that are on that aren't doing the job right as a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back here in just a moment. Thank you very much.
TAWCMM would love to have you join their community of men for breakfast every first and third Friday of every month. They have Bible discussions and fellowship after the best breakfast in town. The meeting location is at their gracious host church, First Christian Church in Kernersville, 1130 North Main Street in Kernersville. They have a hard start at 7 o'clock and a hard stop at 8 o'clock. First-time visitors eat for free. Join your hosts, Will Hardy and Roy Jones Jr., a black guy and a white guy.
People, it's a lot going on.
Welcome back, folks. We're getting used to our intro back from the break, so it's good to have you back with us. So as we were talking about before we went to the break, Dwayne, we were talking about statistically speaking, right? So I guess it's like anything. You have to take the total number of incidents against the total population or the total number of occurrences that go on within whatever profession is. In this case, the total number of incidents that police officers do their job day in, day out, no issues. Mm. They love on people. They try to coach people. Even when they're getting spat on, they're getting, is that the right word, spat, mm-hmm, spat mm-hmm, upon, and mm-hmm. just all those things, they still do it right every day.
Mm-hmm.
So we have these situations where things have gone wrong, mm-hmm. either because the person shouldn't have been in the job to begin with, or they've just gotten so complacent with life because of all they see every day. And then of course, let's not forget, what was it like 3 years ago, that officers were being killed and shot at mm-hmm. random. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's inside 3 years, wasn't it? So I couldn't imagine putting on my uniform every day and not knowing what if somebody's going to shoot at me or just kill me, walk up to the car and execute me, or if I'm going to be shot getting out of my car or going into a domestic situation. So very, very difficult job. Very difficult job.
There has to be some type of training and response in staying up with these people, because police see some of the horrific things. I mean, they see some terrible things through their career. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's on and on and on. And they see it day in and day out. You know, 8 hours. They see some horrible things.
And you know what happens?
And it affects them.
Yeah, it does. It desensitizes them. Mm-hmm. And it actually makes you very callous. And I think the same thing happens to people growing up. And that's one thing we need to talk to. Back to what our whole drive is as an organization is getting men to take their proper and God-assigned roles. Mm. And we know, and there's one of the things I want to talk about, what role does the lack of father play in these situations where people are getting into trouble? Wait. I mean, if you're getting into trouble and you're getting arrested, there's some basis behind getting arrested, right? If you're breaking the law and you're getting arrested, let's separate the inappropriate behavior of the police officer. Mm-hmm. Let's get to the core issue. Or I would like to throw that out as a discussion point. If you're not getting in trouble, you're not having an encounter with the police officer, generally speaking. Mm-hmm. Now, there are those racial profiling situations we see where somebody gets stopped because of the color of skin. We've talked about that's back to wrong. That's back to training. That's back to loving on people instead of expecting the worst. So I just throw that out there as a question.
Well, before we dive into that, I want to go back to something that was stated earlier, is that all policemen are not like the police that we saw with the neck on the back of neck on the back of the guy on the ground. Yeah. All police are like that. And see, what that is it's stereotypical is what it is. It's a stereotype. If you wear the uniform, you're automatically evil. And that's not the case. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You know, you, if you're African-American, you play basketball and eat watermelon. See, that's a stereotype. You know, an Asian individual, all of them know martial arts. See, these stereotypical ideologies is what break down the system of really concrete thinking the way we should go into a discussion when we start talking about this. You know, so we can't look at the small part and say
judge the whole.
The whole is like the small part.
I agree with you, Will. That's good summary.
And see, when we put that out there, then we say, okay, that's out there now. So when we talk, we're not talking about the whole. We're talking about just those individuals who go against the things that they were trained to do.
Right.
Now, since we all started talking about the police officer, and again, hold your thought there, because I got some statistics
here. This is the great part
about
live shows. You get to go wherever you want to go.
Absolutely. So I got this off of a website called Campaign Zero. It's called 8cantwait.org. And it's actually a website that President Obama recommended people go to and see if their particular cities are listed and how they're listed as far as category. And so they said on this website that if police policies, if they do these things, then the police policy and the police violence as a result of this policy would go down 72%, which I thought was like, wow, just blown away. But apparently this organization keeps the statistics. And number one was they need to bar chokeholds. That was number one. Bar the chokeholds. Number two was require an officer to de-escalate a situation.
That's a big one right there.
Absolutely.
Well, okay, keep going.
Let me go through them. I see right now that Roy is all geared up on this thing.
No, well, the de-escalation.
The number three was require a warning before shooting. Now, this is right off the website now. I'm reading. And then it says number four was exhaust all other means before shooting. Number five was their duty to intervene. Now, this one was a big one in just what we just saw.
Their duty to intervene.
Intervene
in what?
In reference to the amount of force
someone else
that is being used, which
someone else is using.
Exactly.
Okay,
which means that when the individual had his neck on George Floyd, two officers should have said, get off of this guy.
Yeah, that's what
that's intervening.
That's what the officer I had dinner with was referring to as well.
Mm-hmm. And then it was banned shooting at moving vehicles. That was on the website. And then require the use of force continuum. Now, what force continuum is, and it's like a broad definition, but force continuum, and of course, Aaron probably speak better to this when we have him on. It says that an officer is required to use the amount of force necessary based on the resistance that is being given to him in reference to an arrest. So again, that's broad. See, it, and you can go a whole lot of places, but again, they are trained in areas like this.
Oh, of course they are, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the last one was require a comprehensive report. And see, the officers there in Atlanta, the six that got fired, what they did, they turned off their body cam. So again, so now you won't have a comprehensive report based on video. You got one word against another word. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, going back to that, de-escalation.
Cause well, I'm just sitting here thinking, I know all of us probably sitting around this table have been in situations where stuff started to get escalated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One person doesn't de-escalate a situation. They can attempt to, and if the other person is listening and will react accordingly, can de-escalate it. But how many times do officers get out there, whether it's a domestic, doesn't matter what color the skin is, they get into a domestic situation, and half the times when you see they go to answer a domestic call, fight between a husband and a wife, mm-hmm. guess who ends up getting attacked?
Yeah,
the woman turns on the husband, or the man turns on the husband, depending on who's originally made the call, and it's generally the one that made the call that's coming back after the officer. So that's just a small example of de-escalation. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
So there needs to be multiple. So situations like we're dealing with right now, when there's hundreds of people, if not thousands of people, that are tearing up stuff and blowing up stores and burning them down, and in their own neighborhoods too, and some of these people aren't even in those neighborhoods; they're just showing up. How do you de-escalate that? And that's where some of the police officers have been accused of not doing anything and watching stuff happen. Well, at some point, when the numbers outweigh your numbers of riot control, I would assume that they have no choice but to kind of just. They can't de-escalate it. It's my point. So I guess that's a great theoretical step.
Well, no, it's not. It's not theoretical in the sense. It's what they're saying here is the officer should do this. We're not saying it's going to work. We're saying that as part of your training, you should go in there and attempt to de-escalate. We can give examples. We can give examples as to all of what. Why something like this won't work. But that's what we have to do. They have to go in and attempt it. We're not saying it's going to work.
Well, no, and the officer I had dinner with spoke very much to that about when he approached the situation. In fact, he even commented on what he would have done. He told his coworker, said, if it had been you, I'd have broke your jaw because you would have been off of him. That's just the heart of this
mm-hmm,
man.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we were to survey 100 police officers, we'd probably get 98% would respond the same.
Mm-hmm.
They are taught to de-escalate. They're taught to go in and manage things. They're not supposed to get emotional.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the biggest thing. Yeah. You know, they are trained to take control of any environment that they come into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's like a pro and a con. You know what I mean? I tell my kids all the time, if you do something nice for someone, you can get better results than being mean.
Mean, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But then, you know, I take my hat off to the police officers, and I tell you this because I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I'd definitely be, you know, in cuffs, and I'm for real, you know, because I'm not going to. You just ain't going. You know, I can't do it.
No, with you.
But I was I remember I just bought a car. It was nighttime. I bought a car, and I was driving. Had some friends with me, and I pulled up, and the cops pulled me over because the stuff it had on the plate. It had one of them liquor drinking plates on there.
And
I didn't know nothing about that, so I just she giving them my information and all that stuff. And the guy was like, "Oh man, you know what? You're pretty nice, man. I you know we talked," and he said, "I'm gonna let you go," but then the sirens was blaring. And then RoboCop pulled up on all up on the cold, vroom, vroom, jumped out of the car, slammed the door, fixing his pants. And he walked. And when he was walking to me, he bumped me, like bumped me, almost like bumped me into the car. And I'm just like, man, oh, that night I got locked up because of RoboCop. Mm-hmm. The other cop was, you know, we talked. I showed him all my credentials. He was like, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. But the thing about it, right before, the cop said, when RoboCop pulled up, he said, hey, man, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew what was going to happen before I knew.
Oh, mm-hmm. The other police officer apologized as soon as the guy rolled in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he knew it was getting ready to get ugly. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, there you were stereotyped. You were in a new car with a group of your friends. You were stereotyped. So, I mean, that's exactly what we've talked about. Doesn't need to be happening. So de-escalation is part of their training. It just doesn't always work because we know that human nature on the other side is going to have the fight with them no matter what at times. So. Hey, wow, where did the first half hour go? So, hey, come back, join us next week. We'll pick this conversation back up. Dwayne's going to stay with us, and we'll look forward to having him back. So, God bless all you folks, and we hope you're enjoying the show.
As we wrap up today's show, be assured that TAWCMM, Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry, is building a community of men that are Christ followers with a desire to be servant leaders in their homes, communities, churches, and work environments. Check out our website for upcoming events and regularly scheduled meetings. Drop us a note for topics that you would like to have us visit in the future. Thank you for joining us on Man Talk today. Visit us at www.tawcmm.com. Men walking the talk.
This is the Truth Network. Welcome to Man Talk, brought to you by TAWCMM, Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry, where they're devoted to breaking down the walls of race and denomination and challenging men to take their God-assigned role. Here's our hosts, Will Hardy and Roy Jones Jr., a black guy and a white guy.
Welcome to Man Talk Radio. I'm Will Hardy, the black guy.
And I'm Roy Jones, the white guy. And
you know, Roy, we were talking last week with Minister Kennedy, who was back with us, in reference to all the things that we have seen in the media, news media, with George Floyd. And we talked about what some of the issues we felt was, and we talked about how all policemen are not,
right,
you know, bad people and don't do the things that this police officer did in Minnesota. And I want to address something before we start getting into the conversation. It's something we were talking about off the air when Minister Kennedy mentioned it. And in Exodus chapter 1, and I shared this with on the CFG, mm-hmm, in Exodus chapter 1, what Pharaoh did, and we, you were talking about, Minister Kennedy, about that power and authority that an individual would exhibit. And so what he did is he said he went to the he oppressed the Israelites. And the word of God says the more he oppressed them, beginning with verse 8, the more he oppressed them, the stronger they grew.
Yeah.
And they begin to grow more, and they begin to grow more. And then he said, wow, they're getting too big. It's a whole lot of them out here now. So what's going to happen if they align themselves with our enemy and then all of a sudden they attack us and they put us in slavery?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's thinking about the control, that control factor. The next thing he did was he went to the midwives and he called two of the midwives and he said, okay, when a male child is born, I want you to kill it. Kill the male child. And so they said, we fear God, mm-hmm, more than Pharaoh. We ain't doing this. And so they began to grow. Then he took it one step further. He said, okay, round up all of the men and the boys that are born and throw them in the river. So you see this sort of like step in elevation, mm-hmm, of oppression and the vigor, because he simply wanted to keep the numbers manageable,
mm-hmm,
And that's what you do when you're a leader and you fear that if the people who you are oppressing get bigger than you, that's a fear.
Right.
Now, I'm not equating this to what is happening today. I'm just putting it out here as this is what the word of God says that Pharaoh did to the children of Israel. And ultimately, God watched over them. They begin to grow, multiply. And then finally, the plagues come. We all know the story, you know, Aaron and Moses going to Pharaoh saying, let my people go. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of what we see is, and Minister Candidate was talking about this earlier on last week's show, on how this is a period of many, many years.
Yeah.
So we're seeing many, many years of what has happened, and it's carried forward to what we see today.
And if I can put some else in on, you know, slavery in the Old Testament, you came to slavery about two different ways. One of them was you signed up for it. You know, you go borrow you borrow. This is why scripture says don't borrow. You borrow and you are subject to them, right? The other one is you go through slavery through a war. You know, when you lose a war, whatever's there, you become a slave to the kings that won the war. So those are the two things for slavery. This American slavery that we've been experiencing, that's not biblical at all. There's there's no so what you have us now, you have historical trauma that we're living in right now. Historical trauma from the past 400 some years, you know, we ain't been out that long. You know what I'm saying? So it's historical trauma. See, so I know we was talking about the rioting and all that stuff. Now I look at it in a different sense. Of course, we know that's not scripture. God is not for that. God is not into that. God speaks against that. But then you have to also understand that in that process, you're talking about looting, breaking windows, and there was some deaths, you know, and all this other stuff. But that still doesn't compare to the 400 years of this historical trauma. See, so what you got, you have a boiling point. You know, there was one scripture, and there was one scripture in the Bible that I could never understand. I read the Bible, I studied the Bible, I went through everything. It was the one scripture in Revelation when he said, when he's talking about the two prophets, and he said they're going to be killed and stoned, and he said everybody is going to see it at one time. And I was like, how are they going to do that? This is before the cell phones. I'm like, well, how are they going to do that? But see, now I see. This phone here, these camera phones, you record, man, everybody's seeing everything like instantly.
Exactly.
So I understand how scripture fulfills itself. And this is why this is so big right now. It's not just the black people. It's Caucasian people. It's they're standing with us. It's Asians. It's the world that's standing with us. And I think that's where the big key is at right now.
Sure. All of what I think we have seen, and we need to talk to our children. We need to bring about programs within the four walls of our local building, because that building is not the church. That's why I say local building. We need to, because this children, preteens, teens, young adults, they all have questions. They all have questions. Why is this happening? And you know, when you were speaking about all of those years of oppression, and I mentioned this again during our CFG, is that the 13th Amendment, 14th and 15th Amendment was supposed to, number one, 13th Amendment was supposed to abolish slavery. The 14th Amendment gave everyone the right under the Constitution, whatever the Constitution said, you know, as a citizen, a naturalized citizen, slaves included, that you had these rights under the Constitution. And of course, the 15th Amendment allowed the right to vote. But all of that, even though that was in the Constitution, and this is why we were talking about earlier that you can't legislate this. Because, see, that was legislation. That was legislation that came out to say you have these rights.
Right.
But yet they didn't happen after the Civil War. Why?
Execution without a strategy.
Exactly. You know? See, and the individuals who were holding on during the South, they didn't want to let this up. So right after the war had ended, you had these three constitutional amendments come out. But then, for example, the right to vote, because you had what was known as black codes, and the black codes turned into Jim Crow laws. And the black codes and the Jim Crow laws, they were there basically to keep the black man at bay. Yep. So he could continue to be an indentured servant. That was basically, mm-hmm. it's a whole lot of other things in there too. But that was basically why these codes were permitted. And so now they didn't want to let it go. So now you have the black man who is out there, and he's going, wait a minute, we're holding offices, because they did hold office, public office, you know, in the mid 1800s, held public office, but nothing would go through. Mm. Because they were the minority. Mm-hmm. And so as much things as they would bring up, it was like, well, this thing is going to get beat down, you know, just because of where we sit. And then the right to vote. How many times have we seen again in history? And this is all based on the 400 years that Minister Candidate was talking about. How many times have we seen the Jim Crow laws enacted until a man by the name of Martin Luther King came along and said, you know, we got to stop this. And then the Civil Rights Act came about, mm-hmm. which allowed the black man of almost 100 years, mm-hmm. almost 100 years from the time the Jim Crow law ceased till the Civil Rights Movement. And that's just a little history. I didn't mean to go into the history.
You know, systemic racism, no. mm-hmm. it exists. And, mm-hmm. and the thing about it is, there's a lot of people that gained from that. Mm-hmm. And then there's that many more that were hurt by that. Mm-hmm. See, so you got those running on the same playing field, mm-hmm. you know? And that's why my thing is police reform. Mm-hmm. You have to have a different face. You have to create a different look for your police. I don't want to say a restitution or anything like that, but the bottom line is, if individuals can't say, wow, what you guys went through is totally wrong. Man, I had a couple of my friends call me this week while all this going on, and they just say, hey man, you know, I want you to know that I'm there for you. Mm-hmm. And you know, and that was encouraging, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. it's just simple, the mm-hmm. simplistic things, mm-hmm. you know, but it's an individual thing. Mm-hmm. And we all know scripture. This stuff is going to be here.
Absolutely.
But long as the individual start changing their mindset, mm-hmm. because there's some people that don't feel like nothing is wrong.
Absolutely.
And the thing is, just because you don't feel the problem, mm-hmm. don't mean that the problem don't exist. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a problem in society in general, right? I mean, if it's not in your backyard, most people don't pay attention to it. And the only reason most people are paying attention to this now is because it's visible, yeah. it's on the news, it's been publicized, it's affecting just about all the major cities across the country. Mm-hmm. So they can't help but pay attention. Mm-hmm. But I mean, just like with anything, we can go back through time, that people are just, I won't say ignorant, they're just complacent to what's going on that's not outside of, or that is outside yeah. of their particular arena. Mm-hmm. And that goes back to where I think we've lost a lot with these phones, as we've talked about. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have phone, you don't have conversations with each other anymore. You don't go visit your neighbor. You don't, you know, when's the last time you had a neighborhood cookout? So, yeah. I mean, that's the point. So, and then again, I'll put this back out there to lead us into the next half. You know, first off, nobody's ever going to be perfect. They're not all going to do it right. Mm-hmm. But if we could get back to teaching core values, value of life, and you don't break the law, mm-hmm. first, mm-hmm. core values, and you love your neighbor. Amen?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. We'll be back with you in just a few moments. Thank you so much for joining us.
TA TAWCMM would love to have you join their community of men for breakfast every first and third Friday of every month. They have Bible discussions and fellowship after the best breakfast in town. The meeting location is at their gracious host church, First Christian Church in Kernersville, 1130 North Main Street in Kernersville. They have a hard start at 7 o'clock and a hard stop at 8 o'clock. First-time visitors eat for free. Join your hosts, Will Hardy and Roy Jones Jr., a black guy and a white guy. Affordable Chiropractic in High Point. As you might tell from their name, Affordable Chiropractic, even for the cash patient. Dr. Jeff Fricke has been caring for patients in High Point for 34 years. Physical therapy such as ultrasound and spinal decompression for disc conditions such as herniation. Comprehensive care for auto accident injury patients with no out-of-pocket expense. Remember, Affordable Chiropractic on West Lexington Avenue in High Point. Call 336-885-1987.
Welcome back to the show, and Dwayne, it's so good to have you here again. I want to say thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule.
It's a blessing. It's a blessing.
But back to what we said right before the break, folks. You know, it's a value of life, and there is a right and wrong, and we've talked about this offline. That there is a right and wrong, but society today would tell you that wrong is now right, and I mean, and this goes, and the issue we're talking about at hand, as you were talking about earlier, goes back for centuries. But there's one thing that we all agree upon, and we're all in accord even through this conversation. I want everybody to know that we love each other and we're serving God together, is that we can't change one thing about the past. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the rearview mirror is small for a reason. It's just there as a reference point. Mm-hmm. It's not to constantly go back and live that over. Because, and we all know, we can't change the one thing that we did yesterday or last year or 10 years ago, but we can impact the decisions we make moving forward.
Yeah.
And that's how we're going to affect change.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
To you, and Dwayne, I think you said it earlier, maybe it was offline, but about forgiveness. We've got to be willing to forgive people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and biblically speaking, do you want grace like Christ extended to us and died for us because we didn't deserve it? Or do you want justice?
Amen.
So, and I think that's something we, listeners, you need to be a part of this, is that it's got to be about grace.
Mm-hmm.
Recognize the failure, recognize the wrong, but then how is it going to change moving forward? Mm-hmm. And it's going to require everybody to change. It's not, like you said, Dwayne, it's not just a black-white. It's not just an Asian, a non-Asian. It's all people have got to change. And we got to get this addressed holistically. And people start loving each other as Christ has commanded us to do.
Amen, that's it.
To love your neighbor. Then you won't do any of this other stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You won't do any of this other stuff.
That's the thing. How do you get an individual to start loving a man who he has, you know, hate for? See, that's the thing. To get us together and first talking, and then you talk. You don't talk to the individual. You talk about the issue, and then you let the love of God and the word of God penetrate that thick skin of the individual, permeate to their heart. And then that in turn will put that seed in there.
Now, which individual are you talking about?
I'm talking about the individual. Okay. You got two individuals. You got the one who's the born again believer, and you got the one who we're talking about.
The unbeliever,
the individual who has hate for all men.
Right.
And see, we understand, we who are born again, so I guess I'm going to have to make sure I say that. We who are born again, when we go to the unbeliever, our message should always be the message of Jesus Christ.
Amen. It should be.
In every sense of the word. So again, if you have one individual over here who is harboring the hatred and another individual who is harboring the hatred, and then you see those two individuals yelling at each other like we see on the nightly news, you know, then that when we see that, it's like, how do I go and be the arms, legs, eyes, and ears of Jesus Christ as a message to convey to these individuals?
Well, you know, I put an answer on that. Mm-hmm. The church today, we are morally conscious. We are conscious about the laws of the Lord, the will of God. We are conscious about that, but we also have to be socially conscious. Mm-hmm. And I think there's so many people that are morally conscious in the church, abiding by the words and the laws of God, mm-hmm. but they're not socially conscious. They don't see all of the social stuff, many stuff, because it doesn't affect them, mm-hmm. you know. But we have to, in the book of Proverbs 31, 8 through 9, it speaks on that. We have to be the voice. Mm-hmm. We have to be the voice. Now, I think if more people stand up, and I say it's an individual thing, because it's the individual that has to stand up,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know? Mm-hmm. But now when all the individuals come together corporately, you know, now we can move some things. Mm-hmm. But it's the individual first has to change, mm-hmm. just like in our walk with God. He deals with us individually, mm-hmm. but we have a lot of moral conscious Christians, mm-hmm. but they're not social conscience Christians. Mm-hmm. We have to understand and identify. That's why empathy is so important to me, is that because that takes you and puts you in that mm-hmm. person's mm-hmm. situation. Mm-hmm. You have a better understanding. And I mean, all you got to do is look at the reality. I mean, you know, if I came up and took your kid,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have any will, you don't have any say so, it's done. I want your kid. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and we're talking about, so it's a lot of hurt and all that stuff. But I think the scripture tells us
mm-hmm.
a soft voice,
mm-hmm.
you know, instead of the fast track,
mm-hmm.
a soft voice
mm-hmm.
will turn things around.
Turns
now, it might not be immediately, yep. and you might mm-hmm. get your head swelled, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But those are principles that we need to live by, be morally conscious and also social conscious.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about the elephant in the room. That is that, you know, Sunday's the most segregated day of the week still
mm-hmm,
yet.
Mm-hmm.
And Martin Luther King, I believe, mm-hmm. even commented on that originally. And here we are, 50, 60 years later, and mm-hmm. it's no different.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are some churches out there that are trying to make a difference. We're trying to make a difference as a men's organization, but we still got ways to go.
Mm-hmm.
And we just trust that God will continue to do that. But, folks, if you're listening to the program, And like I challenged the men back in February, when was the last time you had dinner with a person of a different color than you were?
Mm-hmm.
And that was speaking to the whole room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when was the last time you had lunch with someone of a different color?
Mm-hmm.
And then when was the last time you socialized with someone that looked different than you?
Mm-hmm.
And I ask you as a listener the same question.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's only going to change when the body of Christ changes.
Amen.
And when the body of Christ says it's okay to be segregated, it's okay to run two different churches, and it's okay not to socialize, guess what? What do you think Satan's going to do with the world?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just for the record, Roy introduced me to some Thai food before. I'm telling you, it was off the chain. I loved it. We had a nice lunch. I was just like, oh, I had a bag to go. Oh, yeah.
There you go. See, I'm a man that believes, you know, don't talk unless you've experienced it. So.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. And in these times, you know, the whole spectrum of what we see, it has to come back to how do we as believers communicate the message to the individuals so that we can start talking. Yeah. And, you know, last night, I think I shared off of the air. Last night over at Mount Zion, they had a Zoom meeting, and one of the members from the Christian Fellowship group sent a electronic flyer to me. And so I listened from 7 o'clock to almost 8:45, and they had a judge on there. They had an attorney on there. They had a state representative on there. They had an individual who was an activist for African-American rights. I mean, in a couple, two or three pastors, Mark Walker was there, representative from North Carolina. And so all these individuals on here. And of course, when Bishop, who was over there at Mount Zion, he wasn't pulling no punches in reference to the questions. And there was individuals, and I could see their face. They felt uncomfortable. And before he went on, that's what he said. He said, this forum that we have tonight is not to make you comfortable. It's to make you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And when you step out of your comfort zone is when you say, now I'm able to go out and have an empathetic heart and be able to go out with a newfound understanding that I got wisdom of God to go out to say, individuals, let's start this. Let's start the dialogue at this level, and we just believe God that it's going to, you know, it's going to fly.
You know, that's why I love the scriptures. The scriptures, they don't point out a nationality, a race. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you know, there's some issues where they do for specific reasons. But mm-hmm. like for instance, Paul and Apollos was a black guy. You mm-hmm. know, he, you know, and a lot of it's the scriptures don't highlight that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there's no need. And until people start seeing people for people,
without, mm-hmm. yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. it's you know, it's not like a black man, it's a white. I mean, but this is what we see.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So we see what we see in front of us. Like I pointed it, over in Asia, you got the same issues that goes on mm-hmm. here, but two Asian groups.
Mm-hmm.
You have the same issue in Russia, mm-hmm. two Caucasian groups.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have it in Africa, mm-hmm. two you know what I mean, mm-hmm. hating each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a people's heart thing. So until we get to the place where we can change people's heart, and like what you're doing with your broadcast, this is changing people's heart, because mm-hmm. the Bible says the word of God will not return unto him void, right?
That's exactly right.
So Amen. It's going to accomplish what it's set out to do. We mm-hmm. need to believe that and just do what we're doing.
Right.
And it's an individual. We're touching one person at a time, you know, and we, right. we may not, and we know,
mm-hmm.
we are Bible believers. We know that mm-hmm. it ain't going, you know what I mean? It's going to be here.
It ain't going away.
As long as we put ourselves to touch somebody. Someone yep. get some more information to change their way of thinking, and that's all we can do. Mm-hmm. One watereth, one planteth, but that's God right. give the increase.
That's right. That's
so
right.
I love the word. The Bible's real, you know, and you know what? Racism is in the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people look at Jonah and the belly of the whale mm-hmm. as the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Jonah was prejudiced. Jonah
yes, he was.
Hated them folks.
Yes, he was.
You know, a lot of people say, you know, Jonah was saved. He was already doing the work of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
but he didn't want to go minister to them folks.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Because he knew what was waiting on him.
Exactly.
So
he
exactly.
knew what potentially was going to happen to him. I don't think any of us would have been wanting to go either, knowing the way they're treating those people. So,
yeah.
So.
Exactly. And you know, Roy, what you were saying on last week's show in reference to why we don't see and hear about all the abortions that's going on in the world,
yeah.
all of the, you know, white on white type of crime, and that's because it doesn't sell.
Yeah.
See, we are in this society that it needs to sell. So what sells is when you have race versus race.
Yeah, and that's a good point, Will. We're closing out. With that, you need to take with a grain of salt. Not everything you read, see, or hear is 100% accurate.
That's right.
Unless you've done the research behind it, and we'll talk about that on the next show. A couple pictures that I was shared with earlier that the guy gave me the backdrop. So, hey, if you're listening to the show, we always want you to have the opportunity to accept the Father as your personal Savior. Jesus Christ died for you. All you've got to do is admit being a sinner. Ask Jesus into your heart. Father sent the Son to be your Savior. And if you have done that and want a place of fellowship or worship, contact us. We'll get you connected if you're not in the church. God bless you. Don't let another day pass, because tomorrow may not come, and you need to make a decision today.
Amen. Amen to that.
Hallelujah.
As we wrap up today's show, be assured that TAWCMM, Talking and Walking Christian Men's Ministry, is building a community of men that are Christ followers with a desire to be servant leaders in their homes, communities, churches, and work environments. Check out our website for upcoming events and regularly scheduled meetings. Drop us a note for topics that you would like to have us visit in the future. Thank you for joining us on Man Talk today. Visit us at www.tawcmm.com. Men walking the talk.